today as we come to the table.
It's not about tradition or the way that our church does things that makes us right before God. It's what Jesus did on the cross and then our obedience to his word after that. And we have to say, all right, traditions are great. I like the way we do church here, or we wouldn't do it this way. It doesn't mean this is the only way to do it. There's lots of ways. But here's the bottom line. Make sure that your tradition is not holding you back or limiting you or causing you to judge others around you because they're not doing things the way you do them or the way that you think your tradition is supposed to be. You need to be freed up so you can minister to everyone, freed up from the bondage of religious tradition. Are you free from the bondage of religious tradition?
Traditions can be a good thing, like sitting around the Thanksgiving table and saying what you're thankful for, or giving gifts at Christmas, or perhaps just saying grace before a meal. The problem is that sometimes we put so much emphasis on the traditions themselves and forget what their original purpose was. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark encourages us to think about the traditions that we have. Pastor Mark encourages us to think about the traditions that we have in practicing our faith. He challenges us to ask if they draw us closer to God, or do they replace true worship? Do the traditions you follow come from men, or do they come from the truth of God's Word? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 15. As he continues his message, the tradition of man versus the word of God.
They'd roll their sleeves up, you know, take an eggshell and a half of water and pour it down this way and it would run down. Another eggshell and a half of water. Who came up with that? I don't know. Pour it down this arm and let it run down. Another eggshell and a half, this arm, same thing, this arm. Then they'd rub their fist this way. They'd rub their fist this way, dry their hands off, and they were ready to eat. Now, why did they do this? They did this, by the way, before every single meal. And it was a spiritual ritual. It had nothing to do with having your hands clean. Why did they do this? Because according to the oral Jewish law, and who came up with this? I have no idea. In the nighttime, a demon by the name of Shibta would sit on your hands while you slept. So if you got up in the morning and you had Shibta demon germs on your hands and you ate food, you might get demon possessed. So you'd have to wash your hands from Shibta in the morning. I don't know why they did it after every meal after that. But the bottom line is it was this tradition that came from this false teaching about some demon that did something or whatever. It was total nonsense. But they were following it as though it was the word of God. Now, this would have been a very intense moment. Let me explain why. And I told you to notice they came from Jerusalem. These were not just ordinary scribes and Pharisees. Israel had lots of scribes and Pharisees. No, these were scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem. These were the big guns. Now, what do I mean by that? Jerusalem was the headquarters of what we would call today their seminary or their Bible college or their studies, if you will. This is where all the scholars would be, and they would study all day long, and they were very venerated, very honored, very feared. These were the ones who had all the answers to God and the Bible, and everyone looked to them as, wow, one day I'd like to be like that, but I never could be. And, you know, even when Jesus said, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they were like, well, then nobody can go to heaven. How can we do that? We're not doing all this stuff. He's making the point. They're wasting their time. They're doing all these things, but it means nothing because I didn't tell them to do it. They're doing it themselves. And in their pride and in their arrogance, they'd come up with all their own man-made doctrines, their own man-made rules. They had nothing to do with the Bible. They had nothing to do with the Word of God or the Spirit of God, but they were putting this burden on everyone in Israel. And so for them to show up, these were the feared guys. It would be like if you were somewhere and all the authorities of whatever area that you're studying, they all show up together and they're going to confront you and tell you how you're wrong. So imagine the intimidation, the fear, the ones that everyone looked to, the crowds watching. This was an intense moment gathered around the Lord and the disciples, because these were the heavy hitters. These were the guys from the top seminaries, the top Bible colleges. They're professors, they're scholars, and they're saying, how dare you be so simple in your worship? How dare you be so free? You're not bound up by our traditions, and we've come now to bind you up. Praise the Lord. Again, Jesus isn't going to stand for it for a second. Not one second. He wants us to be free. He wants us to enjoy. Aren't you glad you're free in Christ? I'm so glad I'm free in Christ. And notice what he does. He goes, again, laying this trip on about what they need to do, the intimidation. Look at this. Jesus says in verse 3, and he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? That is, I'm turning it around. You're saying that our traditions are above God? No, I'm saying God is above your tradition. There is no man, there is no leader, there is no tradition above the word of God. Again, they were so bad in that day, they said that whatever the scribes or the Pharisees said had higher weight and authority than the word of God. Listen to what it says in their own writings. I want to read a couple of things to you from their oral tradition in the Jewish writings. It says, the words of the scribes are lovely above the words of the law. Wow. What they're saying is, above the Bible are the scribes' teachings. It says, for the words of the law are weighty and light, but the words of the scribe are all weighty. So God's word, you know, yeah, some of it you can take, some of it's lighter, but the scribes, what they say, that has the authority. Nonsense. As anybody that says that their word is over the word of God, this is a false teacher. And any religion or group that says that their leaders can speak for God above the word of God or change the word of God or go contrary to the word of God, that is a false teacher and that is a false religion. Run from them. They go on to say, here's another one they would say, you can deny some of the minute things of God's word about what you're supposed to do. He says this, but if you change the word of the scribes, you are guilty before God. That is, you're in sin. And so they held it at a higher standard. So you see the arrogance that the Lord is dealing with here. They would actually excommunicate those who didn't wash their hands in this ritualistic way. They put you out of their community. And by the way, this is written here in the historical present, which simply means this. In the language, it's as though it's applying to today. It doesn't say they came to Jesus then, past tense. It's that they are coming to Jesus. They are telling Jesus he's not obeying the traditions of men. Why would the Holy Spirit write this in such a way? Because the Holy Spirit is letting us know these guys are always going to be around. There's always going to be guys that are coming telling you what you're supposed to do based on their tradition and what they think. He said, be ready for it. But they're holding their traditions, what they're teaching above the word of God. You go to Israel today, if you go in a men's bathroom and not the women's bathroom like I did on one of my trips to Israel, not being able to read the Hebrew, you'll see these cups and they're on chains. They're there so they can still do all their ritual cleansings. They still wash. They still do it today. They haven't changed, you know, any. And so this is what the Lord's saying he had to deal with. This is what we have to deal with. And again, I love how the Lord answers, because what he shows is that you guys are holding your teachings and your word, man's word, above God's word, and that is wrong. You need to be publicly corrected. And he was publicly correcting them because they were publicly teaching it. You look at verse 4. He says, for God commanded you, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. So he says, there's a high honor that you're supposed to hold your mother and father in great esteem. He says, but you say whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. It says Corban in another scripture. They called it Corban or Corban. He says, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Wow. You just nullified the word of God by your own teachings. Now, what is this Corban and what was going on here? Again, the Bible says that we're to take care of our mother and father in their later years, even as they took care of us when we were younger. And I know that sometimes there's situations where you had a really bad upbringing, maybe really horrible parents. But the Bible still says, no matter how that is, we're still supposed to make sure they're taken care of. We do it as unto God. And so, again, what they were saying in that day is, well, those who didn't want to take care of their parents, if you don't want to have to provide for them in their later years, the rabbis would tell them this. All you have to do is consecrate your money and your belongings to God. And then whenever your parents say, hey, we need some help, you say, you know, I'd love to help you, but everything, it's Corban. I've dedicated everything to God, and that means I can't take my money and help you, Mom and Dad. I really would like to, lie, but I'm not going to because it's been dedicated to God, so I can't. And it was a way they could get out of their responsibilities before the Lord. He says, look what you're doing. You're teaching the people to be evil. You're taking away the word of God that gives them the instruction of what they're supposed to do because of your traditions. And again, we see that today in many different ways where people give us traditions that not only take away from the Word of God, but put things on us that God hasn't put on us. The Lord is dealing with it. He wanted to deal with it in them, but he wanted the disciples to learn from this as well. And he says, you're making it of no effect. And look what he says, hypocrites. He says, you're saying one thing on the outside, but your heart is fake on the inside. You can play this game with, look, the people are impressed by your robes. They're impressed by your suits. They're impressed by your hats. They're impressed by whether or not you lay a rug down and pray to it five times a day or follow all the Judaistic laws. They're impressed by all this. God says, I'm not. That doesn't impress me. That means nothing to me. I didn't ask you to do that. These are the traditions of man that are asking you to do this. You're hypocrites. And notice, this is amazing. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you? Here's what the Lord is saying. Hey, I'm going to share some news with you guys. You're in the Bible, right? Listen, I want to be in the Bible, but I don't want to be this. Because what he's saying is, you're the hypocrites that Isaiah wrote about. You're the ones that are leading the people astray that Isaiah wrote about. Can you imagine the tension, the opposition, the way that this wouldn't have gone over well? He says, these people, here's what Isaiah said about those scribes and Pharisees of that day. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. That is, they're saying all the right things. However, their heart is far from me. Your heart is nowhere near me. You're living for yourself. You're doing your own thing. You're pretending this religious thing. It's like the person that shows up and they act like they've got this great relationship with God, and they don't even know God. It's all a fake. He says, that's what you guys are. And this is the one that blows me away. Look at this. And in vain they worship me. This means it is completely worthless. You know what an impact that would have had on the Pharisees, the scribes, and all those listening? Guys, the Pharisees and the scribes, everyone looked to them and they were like, wow, I could never be like that guy. I could never seek God like that guy. I could never do that. And that was the standard. Why? Because from the time they got up in the morning until the time they went to bed at night, they were following the law of God to a T, the best they could. Just 613 laws out of the Old Testament, all the washing rituals, not only of their hands, but of all their dishes and of even their furniture and all these other things they would do, these rituals. It was a constant all-day job to be a Pharisee or a scribe. And people would watch them from the outside and say, who could do that? I could never be that righteous. I could never devote that much to God. They were seen as the ones that were fully devoted to God, every ounce of their being from morning until night for 50, 60, 70 years, however long they lived. And everyone said, wow, I wish I could be that way, but I can't. The Lord just said, you know that guy that you think that about? Yes, it's worthless. Everything they did has been a total waste of time. It's a waste of their time. It's a waste of God's time. It means nothing to heaven. They will have zero reward. And if they don't repent, they won't even get into heaven. Can you imagine hearing that message from Jesus? Again, I think about, I had a friend share with me that his dad was an unsaved pastor. Now, some of you say, well, can a pastor be unsaved? Absolutely. There's a lot of them out there. Believe it or not, shouldn't be surprised by that. The Bible says that Satan has his messengers as angels of light. And the best place to deceive the body of Christ is to get them behind a pulpit. That's why you have to make sure what they're teaching. And look at their life to see what the fruit is. Make sure they're the real deal. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a biblical judgment that is not wrong before God. And we're not going to parse all that out today. But he was saying, my dad, we went to an evangelistic event in his 70s, knowing that he wasn't saved. I've been praying for him his whole life. He said, my dad went forward and got saved in his 70s as a retired pastor of a denomination. And he was like, praise the Lord for that. But here's the thing that really hit really hard. Everything he did for all those 50 or however many years of ministry that he did, all those counseling meetings, all the study time, all the teaching, all that, it was totally in vain. It meant nothing. Now, if he shared the word of God, it no doubt had an impact in somebody's life because God's word will have an impact. Look, Satan could stand up here and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If Satan said it, somebody might get saved because that's true. It's true. It's God's word. It's just the messenger's evil, right? And so, the reality is that so many people spend their entire life devoted to religion, and it means nothing before God. There are people today, they spend every day, every morning, seeking God, doing ritualistic things. It means zero. What a shock that had to be to them. What a shock that is to the system of people when their eyes are open to realize, I've wasted all this time. It's vain that I've been worshiping God. And here's why. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. He said, all you're doing is sharing man's doctrines, not God's doctrines. Man is fallen. Man doesn't know what he's doing. God is where we turn our eyes. The word of God is where we're to look for the answers. And then when he called the multitude to himself, he said, now again, we told you there were crowds around. All the crowds come around. They start standing around. He says, come in here, gather in. He says, hear and understand. He wants to teach everybody. He says, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. In other words, your religious activities on the outside, the foods that you eat, that doesn't make you right with God or wrong with God. He said, what matters is what is in your heart. Where's your heart with God? That's what God's going to judge. He's looking at your heart. It doesn't matter what religious things you're doing. It doesn't matter how long you pray. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, Pastor Mark, how long do you pray? And I would never answer that. Not because I'm afraid to say 5 minutes, but I would never answer that. I pray more than 5 minutes, but I'm not going to say what I pray. But I would never answer it. Why? Because then that becomes their standard. Oh, Pastor Mark prays that long. I better pray that long. And it becomes a work. Oh, if I don't pray that long, I must not be right because Pastor Mark prays 10 minutes and I'm only praying five. So I better pray 10 minutes. Well, I would hope that people would learn, you know, would grow in their prayer life and add more prayer. But if it becomes here's what we have to reach, look what's happening. Traditions of men, standards of man. There's no time limit on prayer. There's no time limit on reading the word. Here's what he said. I want a relationship. Just spend time, whatever in your heart, spend time with. He said, pray with me, read the word of God. I want a relationship. Don't start setting how long you have to do, how much you have to read, or whatever, this kind of thing, because that's when things start getting weird. That's what these guys were doing. And so he says, you know, that's what's going to defile a man, what's in the heart. The disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He's like, well, yeah. I just took the top professors of the top theological seminary and told them they were all deceived and lost. That probably would be offensive, right? Of course he knew it offended them, but he had to tell them the truth. And see, here's the thing. What God calls us to do is simply tell the truth. And then what someone does with the truth, that's up to them. We can't save anybody. We can't change their mind. All we can do is tell them the truth. And especially if they're stubborn and obstinate and arrogant and prideful, because these guys were. Notice the next thing he says. He answered them and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. If it's not of me, if they're not a child of God, God's going to pull them away and judge them on judgment day. Don't worry about that. But he said, let them alone. That's amazing. In other words, don't go chasing after them, trying to convince them that you're right. Don't throw pearls to swine. You tell them the truth, and if they're too arrogant to hear the truth, and they want to get all uppity about it, he said, if they run off, let them run off. Let God deal with them. You simply plant the seed, and you pray, and you let God deal with them. He says, they're blind leaders of the blind. What a picture that is. Think about that. And if the blind leads the blind, all of them will fall into a ditch. They're going to an eternal spiritual ditch because they're blind. And people that choose to follow them are following them blindly. Listen, if you're going to go through someplace that's hazardous and dangerous, you don't want a blind guide taking you. Now, I know there's some people that are very efficient blind. There's nothing with being blind. I see some people that are blind. They live their whole life in cities, then they get around like nothing you've ever seen. But if you were to take that same person that didn't have eyesight and put them in a brand new environment that was very dangerous, they're going to need someone to teach them the new ropes in that area, or they're going to get hurt. And you certainly don't want that person leading you in a brand new dangerous area, maybe around cliffs on some mountain or whatever the case might be, for the first time, because you're all going to die. And his point is you need somebody that can see where they're going. They know where they're going and they know what they're doing. Guys, I encourage you. Listen, I hope you do that with me. I hope you've already scrutinized whether or not you think I know the Lord or don't know the Lord, or whether or not I'm teaching the Word of God. I know you don't expect me to be perfect. We all know that I'm not. But you need to make sure that whoever you're listening to knows God and is teaching you the Word of God to the best of their ability, led by the Holy Spirit. And if you're seeing people on TV or you're listening on the radio to people that are questionable and you hear things they're saying that are wrong, you need to stay away from that. Hey, listen, fine, there's a lot of guys on the radio that are great, that know God. There are a lot of guys on TV that are great, that know God. There are a lot of guys in pastors that are great, that know God. Find them, learn from them, but don't let the blind lead the blind. It's amazing to me, some of these guys on TV and radio today, the Bible says that if you say, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't come to pass, Deuteronomy 18 says that proves you're a false prophet. Some of these main people you'll find on TV and radio, they did that. They have said, thus saith the Lord, and it didn't come to pass. They'll even give the year it's going to happen. It didn't happen. You know what the Bible tells me? Have nothing to do with them. They're false teachers. Now, is it wrong to give an opinion? It's not wrong to give an opinion. Look, I'm no prophet, but I know prophecy. We live in the last days. I know you're going to see wars and rumors of wars. I'm not claiming to be a prophet of God. I'm claiming to be a pastor who's saying, here's what we know is going to happen in certain ways. We don't know all the details, and I'm going to share it with you so you're prepared when you see these things take place. That's called being faithful to the Word of God. But when you start putting yourself as a spokesman for God and you're not 100% accurate, God doesn't miss. God doesn't miss. I remember one group bragging, we're 70-some percent accurate. God's not 70-some percent accurate. Can you imagine if the Bible was 70-some percent accurate? We're doomed. God is 100% accurate, and we must follow God in that 100% accuracy. So guard yourself. He says, don't follow these guys. They're blind, leading the blind. And Peter answered and said, well, explain this parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still without understanding? And you know, again, Peter, you should understand this, but I can understand part of Peter's struggle. And that is Peter is now having to face something based on tradition that is brand new to anything he's ever known. For the first time, I remember, again, walking into a Calvary Chapel. It doesn't have to be Calvary Chapel. That's just where God brought me, okay? So I'm not lifting up Calvary Chapel as the place to walk into. But I walked into Calvary Chapel, and I noticed that the people were very free in areas that I wasn't free in. You know, they were raising their hands. They were clapping. They're playing music, and I'm kind of like, oh, that kind of sounds like something that maybe, I don't know, is acceptable in church or not or whatever. There was a real battle going on. And God over the years has set me free because I found out there's nothing in the Bible that prohibits that. But I can tell you this, I was in the same place Peter was. It was like, I don't really understand this. Help me understand, because when you see something that goes against your tradition and that you think is right but you can't find is wrong in the Bible for whatever the reason, it takes a while for that mindset to switch around. And I think Peter is going through some of this processing, going, Lord, help me on this one. He says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? You know, Peter thought again, remember that foods, they had to eat certain foods. That's why God had to deal with him in Acts chapter 10. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. It's not about what you eat, Peter. It's about what's in the heart. I'm looking at the heart. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. In other words, that's where the heart, you can tell. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's saying, so if you want to know if somebody's defiled, listen to what they're saying. That'll show you whether they're defiled or not. He says, but it's not by what they eat. It's not by outward religious activities, in other words. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You know, guys, as we finish this today, here's the main lesson of the passage. It's not about tradition or the way that our church does things that makes us right before God. It's what Jesus did on the cross and then our obedience to his word after that. And we have to say, all right, traditions are great. I like the way we do church here, or we wouldn't do it this way. It doesn't mean this is the only way to do it. There's lots of ways. But here's the bottom line. Make sure that your tradition is not holding you back or limiting you or causing you to judge others around you because they're not doing things the way you do them or the way that you think your tradition is supposed to be. You need to be freed up so you can minister to everyone, freed up from the bondage of religious tradition. Are you free from the bondage of religious tradition? And if you're having things you're struggling with right now, listen, if it's sin, if it's against the word of God, stand on it. Stand on it. There's a real push today and move today for a lot of things that are not biblical within the church. I'm not saying that we give up on those. Well, that's just tradition. No, no, no. No, if the Bible says it clearly, you do not give in. Is everybody with me? You stand firm. You contend for the faith. But if it's something that's what you wear, the kind of music you have, whatever the case might be, we need to challenge ourselves and say, why do I believe that? And why am I judging my brother for that? And ask God to free us up, to be able to say, you know what, Lord? I only want what you tell me, not what man tells me. And I don't want to be afraid of those that would intimidate me based on their tradition. I want to fear God.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles. And then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.